Hello and welcome to So Divine. I'm Megan Skinner.
And I'm Stephanie Galling.
And this is our monthly astrology and tarot podcast where we take a look at the celestial landscape, what's happening in the stars. We pick a tarot card to fit the vibe, all with an eye towards inspiration and helping you to lead a more conscious life. So, hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Megan.
How are you?
I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm good. I think I might have recovered from April.
In time for May.
Just in time for May, you know, and we do have a lot going on this month. But I just want to note that we are now out of the Mercury retrograde and we're also past this eclipse season. So that is a little bit of something, right? But May is a very active month and we have a number of events happening. So I think what we should do this month is just kind of go through everything chronologically. And let's start with the Pluto stationing stationing retrograde at the beginning of the month. That's actually on May 2nd. So here we go again with this volley with Pluto. You know, it's been going between Capricorn and Aquarius. It's now in Aquarius, so it's going to retrograde back into Capricorn. So let's talk about this because this is a big deal.
Yeah. So just to go back to what you said, which feels very like, even though it's not retrograde anymore, but just to like retrograde, like it does feel like May, it feels quite different than April, right? Mm-hmm. April was very fuzzy, very obscured. And with Mercury retrograde seemingly going on forever, it seemed like it was hard to like not have traction. And again, it was hard to have traction anyway when things were like cloudy and fuzzy and obscure. But that is lifted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, May feels very different. And it, in its own tenor, you know, and it, as to your point, in starting off with the Pluto station, there's just feels like this sense of like, I don't know, the words that come to me are like provocative and pointed and a bit precocious. you know, so as you said, Pluto stations in Aquarius, and then it's like starts to head back to do its final dip in Capricorn, which it will do from September 1st to November 19th. And as we've talked about, you know, a lot, because it happens twice a year, the Pluto station is big Pluto. Right. Yeah. Like Pluto archetype so strong in the collective. So it's about, you know, what's being revealed and what's underneath and what is emerging and what is unearthing, you know, hidden resources or hidden information and or hidden feelings. So I will volley that back to you. But that's sort of what I wanted. I have more to say, but I wanted to just start there.
Yeah. You know, right now I'm still, you know, in the Pluto in Capricorn energy, right? And so when it goes retrograde, it's going to be, what, about 2 degrees Aquarius, and then eventually it'll dip back into Capricorn. So again, we've got this Aquarius energy, this very Pluto, which is also transformation, but you got to dig deep to get it. We've got that Aquarius energy, but we've still got that tail end of Capricorn. And when I think about Pluto in Capricorn, I just think about the dismantling of the patriarchy. You know, it's like Capricorn, old structures, status quo, patriarchy. And then we have Pluto, like you said, just coming in and unearthing everything. And I'm going to be really excited when Pluto firmly goes back into Aquarius this fall. But let's talk a little bit, how might we experience the Pluto retrograde this time around?
Yeah, I think from like two different orientations, right? Like that it is in Aquarius, right? We may see big themes in that realm, like transformation or the unearthing in the Aquarian realms of technology, right? Space travel and exploration, science, logistics, and also a big one is like communities and collectives banding together to promote their shared visions and values, which, you know, we've seen a lot especially recently, right, in terms of like with campus protests and other things. So that also feels, and, you know, Pluto being related to like who has the power and who doesn't, you know, or who's the jockeying for power. I mean, it feels like that might be something that we see a lot of. And I think in our own personal lives, I mean, let alone like where that Pluto at 2 degrees Aquarius may be for our, in our charts, you know, if the invitation is, you know, things are getting dug up. What's the right verb tense? Dug up. You know, if things are being unearthed, you know, I'm a big advocate of like, let's do that ourselves. So what can you dig up? What can you unearth? What can you purge? You know, how can you dig deep into the substratas of truth and honesty within yourself to know how you're feeling, to understand your motivations? And even if you don't fully communicate that to others, like just knowing that yourself or ourselves, or for me, myself, right? Like to orient from that place feels like the huge invitation of that Pluto station.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love you bringing up the power, you know, the power aspect. Pluto's all about power and perhaps some power plays that we'll see or we're already seeing. And then also how that may relate to your own life. It's interesting, Steph, as you're talking about Pluto and all this, it does bring to mind for me the tarot card, the Judgment card, which is actually ruled by Pluto. And the Judgment card in the tarot is like Judgment Day. You know, it's like you're naked in front of your God, right? And they, whoever it may be, says, what did you do with your life? And so it's really this stripping down to essential truth. You can't run. You can't hide. What is your essential truth? And I think there's so much opportunity there with this.
Yeah, I love that. I love that notion of stripping down to the core.
Right.
To the essential truth feels so Plutonian. And, you know, I think even in that, like, I feel like when we have strong Pluto times, whether collectively or we're going through a transit, right? Like with Pluto, that, you know, we unearth like that which is hidden, including like our fears. And I think it's about like giving voice to that. And I like to, you know, with clients who are moving through that, I oftentimes like, you know, encourage them to do like an inquiry, like, which I don't really call it this, but it's like basically like, well, what's the worst that can happen, right? Like really looking at things like, because there's things that we restrain ourselves from or we refrain ourselves from because we're like, oh, it has so much terror, it has so much terror. So it's like, okay, if X happens, what's the worst that could happen if X happens? And oftentimes it could just be like, oh, I could handle that. Like it takes it down, right? It brings it more to that. Or like, oh shit, that would be terrible, but like at least you're bringing it to our consciousness and to figure out also then ways to find resources should X happen, how we can deal with it and move through it and navigate it with more ease.
More ease. Yeah, Steph, that's so good. And actually, I think I just had that conversation with my therapist the other day, right? About, well, Megan, what's the worst that can happen? And you're so right. I think with Pluto, it's always best to, I don't know, strip the Band-Aid off a little bit and just go right in there. And agreed, this could be challenging, but oh my gosh, the transformation can also be incredibly powerful. Are you ready to move on to the new moon in Taurus?
Sure.
She's giggling.
Let's do it.
So the new moon in Taurus is actually on May 7th, and we've got a nice sextile from Saturn in Pisces. Now, I always think the new moon in Taurus is a yummy moon. I mean, well, Taurus is kind of a yummy sign, right? It's ruled by Venus, and oftentimes it has so much to do with pleasure, and it's very, you know, sensual and likes to get its hands dirty. And then we bring in that sextile from Saturn in Pisces. It just, and Saturn, you know, it does very well with Taurus. So we've got some nice earthy energy here, and I think the Pisces will water it a bit and help it to be more available to grow and bloom.
Beautiful. I love how you said that, especially that end piece about it being available to grow and bloom. Yeah, I mean, Taurus new moon, that like it's initiating of a new cycle related to all those Taurian principles. Like as you noted, like the sensuality, the groundedness, our connection also to nature, you know, also like what can you start that has like, that has practical aims, that has pragmatic aims that will actually like move your life in a real, like everyday mundane way. And also, yeah, the pleasure, the pleasure, the sensual, the delight.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, that. I have a Taurus moon, so I'm like all about that.
Yes, yes, you do.
Yeah. And yeah, and you could make it more, you know, it could be given more, like there's a greater opportunity to give that shape and form, I think, with that sweet sextile to Saturn.
Yeah, sweet sextile. I like that. And, you know, I'm a girl without any earth in my chart. And so when I, yep. And so when I, you know, go into these earth sign energies with the moons or whatever, in the past, I found it rather intimidating, but I have recently embraced gardening. And for someone that has a brown thumb or whatever the thumb is and has no earth in her chart, I'm finding that the gardening really tends to bring out that grounded earthy energy for me. So that might be something to consider during the new moon, is planting, it's spring, planting some new seeds.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I also love that for you, right? And maybe there's that like Plutonian transformation of your brown thumb into a green thumb.
Well, one can hope.
Keep us posted.
Keep us posted. Okay. So let's talk Kazemi. We have a couple of Kazemis, and I am going to have you explain that once again for our audience, Steph. We have a Uranus Kazemi on May the 13th, and we have a Jupiter Kazemi on May the 18th. So let's just start and remind everybody what a Kazemi is.
You love Kazemi.
I love do saying love Kazemi.
It's such a good word. It feels so good, like saying it. A Kazemi is another word for a planet when it conjoins, it unites with the sun. It's more sort of the technical or sort of not old school, but traditional word when those planets, you know, when that planet is like, Kazemi means in the heart of, like in the heart of the sun. So it's like the pretty much exact conjunction. And it's thought when those planets are very, very close, when that conjunction is very, very close, aka Kazemi, that other planet's energy, the one that's conjoining with the sun, is purified, is heightened. So, you know, on May 13th, as you were noting, we have the Uranus Kazemi, and Uranus, we're all sort of familiar with that, especially, you know, April was like a lesson in Uranus, right? About stay bouncy and about what's another way and, you know, how to open to pivots and detours and surprises. And there we go again, right around that May 13th. It's like, what is coming forth that maybe you didn't expect, that you didn't have on your bingo card? What can you create that is out of the usual? Is the road less traveled for you? Because there may be, you know, more creative solutions and joy and ease and grace that comes through not just doing the same old, same old. So, you know, definitely like it's the stay bouncy time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, as you're saying, the energies are just so amplified, you know, they're big. And so, you know, Uranus too, in a Kazemi, I feel like is maybe extra, I don't want to use the word tricky. How about interesting? Because with that Uranus energy, as you're saying, we're outside of our comfort zones often. We're experiencing things we didn't expect. This is to stay bouncy. And so with all that amplified Uranus, I think it's a really good time to be open and also to be open to, like you're saying, new creative insight. Like that is out of the box. But it's also a time where things may not happen like you're expecting them to happen. And again, stay open, stay bouncy.
Yeah. And I think in that too, just knowing that, like leaving a wide berth or leaving yourself space, you know, not having things or plans being too rigid, like knowing that there's a possibility that like there may be the need for a plan B, but that's not necessarily bad, right? What if plan B ends up being much more fun than plan A, right? So just like leaving space, you know, not being too constrained, too limited, or too rigid, especially around the days of the 13th, I think will work in all of our favors, and then just being, you know, seeing what bursts forth and seeing sort of also how that impacts you, that sort of that surprise or that shock or that like, you know, like being in wonder with like what arises, I think can also help to like reshift like our wiring in terms of how we perceive things.
You know, as you're talking, the visual comes up for me about the cartoon visual where the light bulb's on top of whoever's head and it's going off. That feels very much like a Uranus Kazemi. There could be epiphanies in there. There could be all sorts of good stuff. Okay, should we talk Kazemi number two?
Kazemi number two is?
Kazemi number two is the Jupiter Kazemi on May 18th. It's got some conjunctions, some conjunctions and connections to other things going on. So this is Jupiter. Jupiter is big. Jupiter, it's expansive. Jupiter has a very big appetite for adventure and new experiences. I always say Jupiter is the more planet. So let's talk about this Jupiter Kazemi.
Yeah, I mean, it oftentimes feels in a Jupiter Kazemi, right, that sense of like wanting to explore, wanting to have broadness, like, you know, what is the potential, feeling a greater sense of possibility, a greater sense of like a more distant horizon, being really interested in that and that freedom, you know. Jupiter also about in that wider horizon, in that wider berth, about knowledge and understanding and mission. And, you know, again, a wider orientation and yet, right, like everything always has a and yet. The other side is, you know, while we may feel more like, you know, maybe more de rigueur to be like, oh, the glass is half full, not half empty, right? There is an optimism. You know, there is that sense of like possibility and enthusiasm, you know, not to get too far over our skis, you know, in terms of just like, okay, this is possible. Okay, but so we could kind of go for it, but let's be realistic also in terms of like what we're going for, right? Because we don't want to be sort of blinded by the like, everything is possible when we still live in a Saturnian world with like gravity and red lights, you know what I mean? And rules and laws. So that feels important. And I mean, I think the other thing that feels important, we just had that, you know, once every 13 year Jupiter Uranus conjunction on the 20th of April. And I can't help but wonder if that mid-May with both of them being really strong again, sort of like they're not together, but they're like kind of close by. Yeah. If like there may not be revisitation of themes, but like also like what, you know, things that we experience, say the third week of April, like, do we get like another like blast of understanding about that?
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring in April's Uranus Jupiter event. And I feel like, you know, if we're looking at dates, you know, we've got the Uranus Kazemi on the 13th, and then we've got the Jupiter one on May 18th. So maybe that period of time, and as we always say, we can experience the energies a few days before and a few days after. So that's a time where I'd say no sleeping at the wheel. You know,
absolutely. And it's funny because I'm also realizing, like, with emails that I've had in the past few days, like, I have a lot of really cool things lined up around that May 18th Jupiter Kazemi. Like, I'm seeing, like, college friends I haven't seen in a while. I'm like seeing cousins I haven't connected to in a while. Like there's this sense of like expansion and possibility. So even to look at like your calendars over the next like few weeks, like what is already sort of like putting themselves on the calendar and scheduling itself for you around those Kazemi dates?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to have to look at my calendar. I'll wait till after the show, though. I don't want to distract us, okay?
Wait, did you want to talk about those? I don't remember. Did you want to talk about those other things that were happening on May 18th during the Jupiter Kazemi?
Well, the only other thing, you know, we've got the Venus and Uranus conjunction. So we've got Venus in there, which is always, I mean, come on. Venus is always such a lovely energy to have present. And then we also have Mars North Node conjunction. So we've got stuff going on with Venus and Mars. And that Mars North Node conjunction, is it North Node? Yeah. It's very much the energy. I always think it's more like a bigger destiny energy. You know, we're dealing with the North Node, which is like the North Star. So to me, with the Jupiter, this just amps it up a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's like Mars, like, let's go. Like, what do I desire? And let's be in movement. And that Venus Uranus is, you know, perhaps like social events that like are not your normal, right? Or just like being open to like new definitions of beauty, you know, and what you find to be pleasurable. Like, so staying bouncy.
I'm
going
to make a
Venus.
Note on my calendar to be open to non-normal social events. That's a good one. I like that, non-normal social events. All right. Let's talk about the Sagittarius full moon. So, you know, here we are talking about Jupiter. Sagittarius, of course, is the ruling sign for Jupiter, and it's a full moon. So that's some big Sag energy. And it's also got a trine to Pluto and some other things going on. So we love a Sag full moon, right? Talk about not that we're biased, but talk about unusual social events. You know, so it's all those Sag themes, right? You know, Sag is very social, big picture, political, spiritual, all those things that kind of entice us. It's a sign of wisdom, entice us to, you know, reach further for our wisdom and our stars. I always think of Sagittarius as a centaur shooting the arrows with his feet on the ground. So it's keeping your feet on the ground and reaching for those stars.
I love that. Yeah, I always, that balance between like Sag where the moon is and Gemini where the sun is, right? That balance between facts and wisdom, right? Like definitely that notion too of like, you know, not to sacrifice, what is that phrase? Like, you don't sacrifice the trees for the forest, but you don't sacrifice that's not the phrase, but it's like forest and the trees and the trees and the forest. Like both of them are important, right? Like the facts and the information are important, but not to just stay limited to like those, like, you know, zeros and ones and like the little minutia of detail and information. It's also about like, well, what's the meaning of all of that, right? That Sag that wants us to go broader. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like, but also like, as we talked about a little bit with the Jupiter Kazemi, don't go too broad. I mean, there's that Sag energy that's like, I'm big and I'm ready to go and I'm ready to bust a move. And again, just that caveat here about don't get too big, you know?
And I think too, like when you say that, it reminded me too, like don't get too broad, don't get too big. Is sometimes Sag is so enthusiastic about like its seeking of knowledge and its knowing of knowledge that it's like has a little bit of like converting, proselytizing energy. Like, hey, Megan, this and these are my beliefs and these should be your beliefs. You know, like, so just to like watch for that amped up, whether it be like in your own interactions with people or out in the world at large. Like, hey, I got a bridge to sell you and a philosophy to sell you and a religion to sell you and a cause to, you know, to sell you. And it's like, okay, you know, just to watch, like, it's like soap could be like soapboxy energy.
Ah, soapboxy. Yes, yes. That feels very Sagittarius. So and speaking of Sag, which is ruled by Jupiter, let's go back to Jupiter land here, because we, at the end of the month, we have a big event because Jupiter is shifting signs. It's going from Taurus to Gemini. And this happens, what, approximately like once a year or so that Jupiter shifts signs. So basically, we are now, or we will be, in more of that Gemini energy. And, you know, Jupiter has so much to do with shaping the social and the collective and what we're paying attention to and what the zeitgeist is. So, you know, as we go from that very Taurus Jupiter energy, which was very grounded and day-to-day and resourceful, to Gemini. Hello, Gemini, which is intellectual and curious and innovative. That's going to be a difference. So let's talk about that.
Total difference, right? I mean, Jupiter making things big and Gemini, right? So on May 25th, or about that year, as you said, after, you know, what's expansive are also like the pathway to knowledge and feeling a greater sense of potential is communication, you know, I would say, you know, in terms of also collective themes, transformation, you know, also this notion of like holding dualities and not be, you know, because Gemini is the twins. It's not just that way or just that way. it's both. And so that notion, and I mean, maybe I'm just trying to be hopeful here, right? Where we can be less dualistic or less split with oppositional forces and say, well, this and that, like, how do we have synthesis? How do we have, you know, integration or assimilation of what seems varying? Mm-hmm. So again, maybe I'm being optimistic and hopeful, but I'm hoping. You know, I think also just Jupiter and Gemini, like literally like the advent of, it seems more interesting to not take a single path, right? But to like do this and do that, you know, like if, you know, I would say if this wasn't already a big trend, this could be a big trend, is like the swirl, right? Like I go get soft serve. It's not just vanilla or chocolate. Like I want them both, right? Where you're combining ingredients, where they either like they become a new thing, or they become a new thing because you can also see the different facets like showing up for that integration. So what else is Gemini? The lungs, the respiratory system, hands, arms, everything in twos in the body, the nervous system. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I am a big fan of the swirl. So I just want to go swirl on the record on that. That's like my favorite, that the swirl, chocolate vanilla swirl. Okay, yeah, you had me there. So
you had me at the swirl.
You had me at the swirl. One of the lovely things about Gemini is its curiosity, you know, so maybe this is a time where we can really let go of some perceived notions, where we can let go of the rules, because Gemini does not play by the rules, and where we can have this open mind as we go in and be curious about change and be curious about what other things are out there. So I think this could be a really great time for information gathering, you know, being really open to different forms of information. Where do you get your information? You know, that type of thing. And so I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, the other thing is, if you want to know where it's going to really be influencing or affecting you, look at the house, the cusp of the house that you have Gemini on, because this is where Jupiter will be playing out over the next year.
I love that. Yeah. And I know I have planets in Gemini.
Mars in Gemini. Always forget that.
And it's interesting too. I mean, I'm a big fan of like curiosity, you know, and also like sort of the power of curiosity. And I think, again, like how it can also sort of soften. It softens judgments. It's well, why? What about that? Like, you know, as opposed to like the rigidity of like, well, this is the way it is. It's like, just that whole stance. And interestingly enough, you know, when we were talking about things that happened other times when Jupiter was in Gemini, that the last time, which was like between 2012 and 2013, that the rover, the called Curiosity, actually landed on Mars. So I thought that was actually really interesting. And these are just little, these are very Gemini factoids, right? These are just little smatterings of sprinkles of information. the time, also during that time, remember Edward Snowden disclosed the NSA operations? So I thought that's interesting because that's all about information. One other thing with Gemini is Gemini rules bridges. It's the connector. So on July 1st, back in 2000, I believe it was, the Øresund Bridge between Denmark and Sweden was officially open to traffic. And last but not least, like in 2001 when Jupiter was in Gemini, Apple launched iTunes and Wikipedia launched. Talk about like Jupiter and Gemini.
No way.
Wikipedia is so Jupiter and Gemini because it's like continued space for like information. So just to throw some of those in there.
Non-stop facts, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Gemini and Jupiter historian. Well, that's great. It really helps to kind of give context, you know what I mean, to what could happen. So
that's the month.
That's the month. And time for tarot card of the month. So I am already shuffling in anticipation. And Stephanie is going to tell me when to stop shuffling, and we will have the tarot card for May.
How about now?
Okie dokie. The card for May is the Hierophant. I don't think we've ever really talked about the Hierophant here. And here we are talking about wisdom and knowledge. And the Hierophant is very much the male version of higher wisdom. And his counterpart is the high priestess, and she's the feminine version of wisdom. The feminine version of wisdom is more internal, and, you know, it's that insight, that intuitive knowing that comes from within. The Hierophant is very much about the vessel for the soul. And the Hierophant is actually ruled by Taurus, which is kind of interesting. And so when you're in the Hierophant energy, it really invites you to share your knowledge and wisdom with others, where the high priestess, she sits with it. She's in stillness and quiet. The Hierophant is expressing their wisdom to others. And this can be what I would describe as spiritual wisdom, not religious, but spiritual. And so when you see the Hierophant, it's really a time to kind of think of yourself as a spiritual leader or teacher or ambassador, and ask yourself, is there wisdom that I want to share with others that can make their life better? And, you know, I don't mean this from a lofty place, because we oftentimes put our spiritual leaders on a pedestal. I mean, you can have meet a spiritual teacher at the checkout line at Safeway. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. So it's having that knowing of that we're all spirit and there's spirit all around us and connecting on that level. But if you're thinking of writing a book or there's, you know, insight that you want to share with the world, this would be a great month to do it.
Wow. I love that, because I mean, like you said, it was ruled by Taurus, right? Mm-hmm. And yet it also feels like it has that Jupiter energy too, which is like most of the month, you know, there's the Jupiter Kazemi in Taurus and the Uranus Kazemi in Taurus and so much of that. So I love that.
Yeah. It's very much about sharing yourself. Yeah. You know, like if you think even like the random act of kindness to me is so powerful on a spiritual level. That's a spiritual act, you know. So again, it doesn't have to be this big lofty thing. It can be in the moment, day to day.
Beautiful. Well, that's also a great segue in terms of sharing. As Megan, what's happening with you in terms of May? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I do have exciting news, and my Couture Tarot tarot deck did get picked up by Schiffer Publishing. It's their Red Feather, what do you call it?
Imprint.
Label. Yeah. Imprint. Thank you. Imprint. And I am over the moon because, you know, I printed the deck myself and it's almost sold out. And to get picked up by a publisher is so exciting. And then, of course, I'm also excited about my YouTube channel. And once a month, I do a tarot reading for the month, a collective tarot reading. And also, I believe in May, hopefully I'm going to start having guests. And I should I tell them who my first guest might be? Can you guys guess? The lovely Stephanie Galen. So that's what's happening with me. What do you got going on?
Yeah. So actually, one of the things I wanted to say was a clarification. I heard from a lot of people who said, oh, I hear, you know, you're traveling for the next few months and enjoy. And I am. But I realized the way that I framed it was it sounded like I was like on vacation. I'm actually just exploring and working and living in other places. I'm back east for a couple of months. I've been with my family. And then in early May, I'm going to Providence, Rhode Island for 2 months. So I'm still like working and working with clients with sessions. And if anybody lives in the Providence area, I'll also be doing sessions in person. So yeah, I'm just going to be exploring what it's like. It's very Uranian to like live and work in a different place other than Seattle for a little while.
I also think it's very Jupiter on your ascendant, right?
Yes, soonish. Yeah.
Yes, like exactly. That very much like I'm everywhere and I can be everywhere and still be here.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So that's exciting. I'm working on a few classes. I don't have any information on that yet, but I hope in June that I will. And then I'm also planning some events, but none of them are in May. So I will keep you posted next month as to the events, both in Providence as well as in Seattle later this summer. So
awesome.
And also awesome. The online events. So what else is it, I mean, besides our giving a shout out to our producers, Sebastiano Tecchio and Nick Patrie, who we couldn't do it this without you. And we are just so, so grateful. And to everyone listening, it's just always so nice to like be here. I mean, I can say for myself to be here with Megan and to like share and talk and to like hear from everyone about how the insights help her resonate it with you. you know, and even if we don't hear from you, we just like, I just feel that really strong connection of community. So thank you.
Our So Divine community. And as always, you can connect with us at sodivine.us. Stephanie's at stephaniegaling.com. And I'm at meganskinner.com.
So thank you. And may May be a beautiful month for you.